invite you to come and experience a Messianic Roots biblically based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat and Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom. Good Sabbath.
Well, Dr. Sands here at the American Freedom Network. This morning is Mike McNulty, and talk about something that happened back in the 1990s, what happened at Waco and what happened to the Davidians. And you'll remember, certainly, we don't talk about it anymore, but there was a fire there after a long standoff, and basically, when, of course, fire was put out, they found that the Davidians, almost 20 of them, as I remember, who were still in the building, were there. They'd been shot in the back of the head, we were told, well, David Corus did. He shot them all in the back of the head, because they wanted to commit suicide. They didn't want to surrender, and yet talking to the Davidians who survived, suicide was the last thing. It was against their religious principles. So what really happened? Well, Clive Doyle escaped that day and came to lead the Davidians. I talked to Clive's mother and interviewed her on the phone. She told me that she was in the trailer the day of the attack, or perhaps the next day, and somebody had called her and her friend and said, look, I will tell you what really happened. I will never come forward and tell publicly because I'm afraid for my life, but I saw what happened that day. And basically, I was behind watching with a telescope. They marched the Davidians out the back, and they lined them up, and they shot them all in the back of the head and dragged their bodies back into the building. That was what she told me, and certainly that would correspond with what was found. You'll never hear that mentioned any place. But we do know that there were the Special Forces unit that was there, and how do we know that? Well, Mike McNulty has some wonderful DVDs, one of which we still carry, A Waco, A New Revolution, A Revelation, where he actually interviews two people from Special Forces who, although they were not there that day, know that the Special Forces unit was dead end. They killed the women and the children by dropping a bomb into the silo, explosives into the silo, and killed them. And then, of course, they killed, at least according to what this gentleman had said, told Clive Doyle's mother, they had simply shot them in the back of the head. Could that sort of thing really happen in America and be suppressed? Well, Mike McNulty has been working on this. He's put out the definitive motion pictures on it. I'm going to let Mike pick up the story. Does that story about actually killing the Davidians, could that possibly have happened, Mike? What do you think?
Well, I don't know about that specific version of things. I knew Edna Doyle quite well, and she appears in the film Waco, New Revelation. But there was, you know, it amazes me how far the truth goes sometimes. And sometimes it's beyond the realm of fiction or the possibility of fiction. So to say conclusively that it didn't happen at all, no, I wouldn't say that. No, not at all. But to say that it happened exactly that way, I don't know. I haven't seen the evidence. When I spoke to Edna, we talked about a number of things. That was not one of them. But from the standpoint of the evidence, the physical evidence, and the eyewitness evidence accounts, there were 27 people that died of gunshot wounds at Mount Carmel. And most of them died of gunshot wounds before the fire. So that's an interesting situation. How did that happen? Jimmy Riddle and Mr. Henry and Philip Henry and a number of other folks. I don't know that we'll ever know all of what happened at Waco, but I feel confident enough to press forward to carry the line of investigation that I started 20 years ago up to the level of asking the magic question, who was really in charge? These things don't happen by chance. They don't just have a bunch of people show up and start doing things. They don't do it, especially in the government, without proper authority. They want their backsides covered, too. The Special Forces group you're referring to actually was the Combat Applications Group at Fort Bragg, North Carolina, and that's popularly known as Delta Force. We found out in subsequent years during a civil trial, the Branch Davidians suing the federal government, that there were 14 Delta Force operators present that day, and their support people were there too. But the Delta Force folks were, as our fellow Steve Barry in the film says, forward deployed and actively engaged in a gunfight with the Branch Davidians. Again, all of this is evidential, but it goes to the question, who was in charge? Who made the decision? Was that Janarino? No, that wasn't Janarino that we saw run across the front of the building. That was Clive Doyle after almost burning to death. We see that in the film. But the chain of command gets real mysterious about 10:30 in the morning. Up till then, Miss Reno was in SIOC, which was the Special Operations Command Center at FBI headquarters in Washington, D.C. She was joined there by a gentleman by the name of Floyd Clark. And during the early morning hours, the other individuals that were engaged in this encouraged Miss Reno to go keep an appointment that she had previously scheduled to address a group of judges in Maryland. And so at about mid-morning, about 10:30, she was essentially summarily dismissed from the proceedings, and Mr. Clark was left, and Mr. Webb Hubble, the Deputy Attorney General under Miss Reno, and Mr. Hubble, of course, was a close confidant of Hillary Rodham Clinton at the Rose Law Firm, took over for the Justice Department. Now, he was talking to somebody at the White House, and during the course of the film, the Texas Rangers reveal the person who was the White House go-to guy, and that was Mr. Vincent Foster. And Mr. Foster, you'll recall, passed away unexpectedly. Can we say that? Unexpectedly.
I think he was murdered.
I think it's an open homicide, which means he might have killed himself, but I don't think the evidence has been determined to be satisfactory.
We'll be back in just a moment with Mike and Philip. We're talking about something that happened a long time ago, but there's no statute of limitations.
Should a natural or man-made disaster hit, do you have the will, the skill, and the gear? Gear up with Preparedness Gear, a full-service store located at I-25 and Highway 52, exit 235, just south of McDonald's. We have your survival needs. Long-term storage, food, water filtration, bulk grains, bug-out bags, survival equipment, and a comprehensive selection of educational books. Visit us online at preparednessgear.com for upcoming classes or call us toll-free at 888-981-9810. That's 888-981-9810. Get your gear on. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of The Green Herb.
Is it me, or have you noticed that personal service is becoming a thing of the past? Is a big store with untrained personnel, or going to a vitamin store and finding several brands of the same herbal product, all at different prices? You don't need to be an herbal expert at The Green Herb. We'll gladly help you decide which of The Green Herb's exclusive products will work for you and work better than anything you buy elsewhere. And we'll give you an old-fashioned money-back guarantee. Come by The Green Herb, located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, on the I-70 Frontage Road North, 1 mile west of Kipling, or call 888-765-HERB, that's 888-765-4372, or go to our website at www.thegreenherb.com. It's the Green Herbs policy to give you small-town service in the big city. And be sure to listen to the Green Herbs Show with Linda and Dr. Cass every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
No state shall enter into any treaty, alliance, or confederation, grant letters of marque or reprisal, coin money, emit bills of credit, make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debts, pass any bill of attainder, ex post facto law, or law impairing the obligation of contracts, or grant any title of nobility. Article 1, Section 10.
Well, when we talk about what happened, a long time ago, basically people have forgotten what happened. First of all, there was a siege at Ruby Ridge where the government set out to kill the family there, and had it not been for Colonel Boagwright and Jack McLam intervening, they would have killed them all, but they didn't. And eventually, after the trial, the government had to compensate the girls, the daughters, the family, the children of the family, for the murder, certainly of the wife and the mother and the son. When the truth came out at the trial, why, that's what happened. There was never a trial in 1993 following the Davidian slaughter, because, of course, everything was done to suppress the fact that, here we had these people all dead with a bullet in the back of their head. And, of course, the one individual, he was the assistant district attorney, federal district attorney in that area, the only person who was ever punished, and he was punished because he tried to do the right thing, not because he did the wrong thing. And then, of course, a few years later, 2 years later, while we had the Oklahoma City bombing and Tim McVeigh and his strange death, I talked to people who were there when he was put to death. And they said, I didn't know you kept breathing after you were dead. And then, of course, not too long after that, we had the tragedy in New York with the Twin Towers coming down, and almost 3,000 people died that day. And let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that was controlled demolition. But let's get back to the Davidians, because it's important that we analyze what really happened that day. And Mike is still working at it. He was working 20 years ago, and he's still working. Mike, you pick up the story of what we do know for certain about what happened that day and what you're trying to accomplish.
Well, Dr. Stan, we were talking about the leadership of the federal government at that moment in time, mid-morning Texas time, on April 19, 1993. And as I indicated before, Janet Reno had been dismissed and sent off to keep an appointment. That left Deputy Director Floyd Clark in charge at the SIOC. Joined.
Mike, we're having a lot of a disturbance in the background. It's coming through. Can you get a regular telephone for us?
Yeah, I can call back. I don't know what the problem is. Same unit that I was speaking on yesterday.
Well, yeah,
I'll call back.
You call back, would you please? Because the producer's commenting is that they're having real problems. If you call us right back, because I think it's an important subject. Thanks so much. Now, I don't know whether that is certainly static, or that is at his end, or whether there is an organized effort to make certain that the information doesn't come through clearly. After all, we're talking about a planned murder. There's no statute of limitation. And in my estimation, that's certainly what I was told by Edna Doyle, everything would point to the fact that they murdered the Branch Davidians. They shot them in the back of the head. Well, all we know for certain is that the bodies were there. The bodies were burned, but there was a bullet in the back of the head of the Davidians. So, talked to several of the Davidians who survived, and of course they were deeply religious people, and they never would have committed suicide. Are you back there on the line? Clive? Is our caller back on the line? Well, we'll get back in just a moment, hoping he'll call back in. We had some problems yesterday when we interviewed Mike McNulty. Mike, are you there? Well, let's hope that Mike will call back in. But basically,
hey, Dr. Stan, he's trying to call in, and somehow we got really problems. I can't even get through anything now. So just I will beep you when he comes on.
All right, fine. Well, we're going to have to do open lines. We can't seem to get him back again. I don't know what's going on. I suspect that, maybe it's just coincidence, or maybe there are people who don't want you to hear the story and to think about what really happened, because, of course, what it does involves Hillary Clinton. She was in charge. She was a key person in the White House at that time. And there are many people who believe that it was Sidney Hillary Clinton who gave the order. You had to have an order to do what was done. Eventually, Janet Reno said she accepted responsibility, but she wasn't there when the order was given. Now, basically what had happened is there were negotiators, and the negotiator that was working with the Davidians, and they were making good progress. The Davidians were ready to surrender. Clive, finally, the leader of the Davidians, David Koresh, had asked for a few more days, putting together a manifesto, which he wanted the opportunity to read publicly, and then he had agreed to surrender. But, of course, somebody wanted to end it that morning, and they gave the orders, I believe, for the murder, for the burning, and, of course, all of the Davidians, or most of the Davidians, were killed that day. And that is that there is no justification, especially since the majority of them were shot in the back of the head. Our telephone number, if you'd like to call us, is 1-877-254-7524. 877-254-7524. And hopefully Mike is going to be able to call us back. Mike, are you there? No, Mike McNulty. Well, that is indeed strange. We had a lot of problems yesterday. We did have a guest on our program. We were able to get at least a serviceable line. Is somebody interfering with the line? Okay, fine. Go right ahead. Is this Mike?
Yep, it is. Sorry about that, Dr. Stan. I don't know. The phone system's all messed up.
Okay, fine. Well, go right ahead. Sounds better to me.
Okay, well, we were discussing the idea of, who is in charge? We all know through our own personal experience that the federal government doesn't operate in the blind. It doesn't operate as some sort of mindless, headless, non-person-led entity. So someone had to be making the decisions that day. And the first thing we ran into when we started investigating this was a dearth of sound, nothing. There was no comments, no acknowledgments, no nothing as to who was running the show, which was sort of interesting because most of these folks are egotistical enough to really want to be in the spotlight. So ultimately, there was this quiet for a period of time. And then Janet Reno stepped forward and said, well, I take responsibility, and pretended to be Superwoman, and put her cape in front of the darling new Democratic president, Mr. Clinton. Well, the fact was she wasn't anywhere around when the manure hit the proverbial fan. So who was? So we started digging into it. And our friends, the Texas Rangers, gave us our first clue. They were told that if they had problems during the course of their aftermath investigation, which they did because, frankly, their comments to us were that they had decided to indict several federal agents involved in the February 28th action and perhaps some others. Well, the problem was they were all keeping silent, the old silence routine. And so Ms. Reno seemed to be indisposed at making them talk. And so we jammed the lines, so to speak, and dug into it. And what we found was that the Texas Rangers had been told that if there was any problems with the investigation, they should
contact this gentleman at the White House. And he was the president's personal counsel. Well, that turned out to be Mr. Vincent Foster. And so the Texas Rangers started working through Mr. Foster to find out who was in charge, what was going on. But they didn't look upline. They looked downline from the point of view of who are the agents that were actively responsible on scene that those days during the siege and February 28th incident, a raid, and April the 19th. So they didn't look upline as to who was directing them. So we decided to do that. We contacted some individuals, for example, the FBI liaison officer at the White House at that time. We also discovered that the United States Senate had conducted a hearing into the doings of the White House relative to the Whitewater incident. And by that time, the time that we were looking into it, Mr. Foster was found dead in Fort Marcy Park, so they included the death of Mr. Foster in their investigation. Well, that got really interesting because it was discovered by the lead investigator for the Senate subcommittee that indeed Mr. Foster had been working on a document that was referred to as the Waco document, whereas he had described the White House's role in the Waco incident, and he was resigning his position in the White House because, as his wife said in her statement to the FBI, the thing that bothered Vince the most was all these different scandals that were taking place, but most importantly, the death of all the children at Waco and how he felt personally responsible. Well, we interviewed a number of folks, and what we found was some wonderful testimony that's in the film from videotaped sessions of the Senate subcommittee hearings conducted by the gentleman who went on to become the director, the first director of the Office of Homeland Security. And he checked out what was going on and asked questions that said, and the witnesses responded, that the document that they were in search of, Mr. Foster's resignation, had been removed against the directions and orders of the FBI by Mrs. Williams, the deputy, or the, what's it called? One of those senior moments, Dr. Sand. The chief of staff, there we go, of Mrs. Clinton's staff had removed a number of documents from Mr. Foster's office after the FBI had ordered them to be secured during the course of the homicide investigation that was ensuing.
Now, she was chief of staff for who?
The chief of staff, Mrs. Williams, was the chief of staff for Hillary Rodham Clinton.
Right, okay. That's why this is so important now, because Hillary Rodham Clinton is planning on running for president, and if it's going to be shown that she was responsible for giving the murder, giving the order that led to the murder of those Grant Davidians, or at least the fact they were shot in the back of the head, why, of course, this would certainly be very deleterious as far as the presidential candidacy. So please go ahead.
Well, that's the question, and it's still an outstanding question today. And at this particular juncture, we're in the process of seeking funding to expand the documentary film Waco New Revelation to fulfill that who was in charge issue. And we're in process of trying to put together the funding so that we can continue our investigation, which is not a cheap process by any stretch of the imagination. And we're hoping that people will take up the call this election season, now that Mrs. Clinton's candidacy has been surreptitiously announced by one of her closest friends, former General Wesley Clark, who happens to have been the commanding general at Fort Hood at the time of the Waco incident, who provided essentially illegal munitions and weapon systems to the FBI in their dealings with the Branch Davidians on April 19th. And in his statement, Mr. Clark announced that Mrs. Clinton was ready to go and for running for president of the United States. Well, that's interesting. I'd sort of like her to answer the questions. And for that matter, Mr. Clark answered questions about what prompted him to authorize the issuance of Mark 19 automatic
grenade launchers. Hold the thought. This is Mike McDonald. We'll be back in a moment here at the American.
Should a natural or man-made disaster hit, do you have the will, the skill, and the gear? Gear up with Preparedness Gear, a full-service store located at I-25 and Highway 52, exit 235, just south of McDonald's. We have your survival needs. Long-term storage, food, water filtration, bulk grains, bug-out bags, survival equipment, and a comprehensive selection of educational books. Visit us online at preparednessgear.com for upcoming classes or call us toll-free at 888-981-9810. That's 888-981-9810. Get your gear on! Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of the Green Herb.
All of God's people have a ministry, and it's a trick of our enemy to keep God's people sick and worn out to hinder their ability to minister. We are often judgmental toward people who are addicted to booze, cigarettes, and drugs, but we at the Green Herb have found that most of God's people are unknowingly addicted to the two most addictive products in America, sugar and soda pop. If you have a sickness or disease, or if you're just tired a lot, the Green Herb has an herbal product that is formulated just for you and is just $15.95. Come by the Green Herb, located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, on the I-70 Frontage Road North, 1 mile west of Kipling, or call 888-765-HERB, that's 888-765-4372, or go to our website, www.thegreenherb.com, and be sure to listen to the Green Herb Show with Linda and Dr. Cass every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, to ordain and establish this Constitution.
And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 16. Fort Collins Radiator Shop wants to remind you that drinking and driving should never be combined. There will be many opportunities to drink during the holiday season. Plan ahead. If you're going to drink, don't drive. This message is brought to you by Fort Collins Radiator Shop at 417 Jefferson Street in Fort Collins. For all your radiator repair needs, call 482-6783. They have over 47 years of experience. They're family owned and operated, and they're on the air because they care.
Well, Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network. Our guest this morning is Mike. And Mike has been working on the story of the Waco and the Branch Davidians going back almost 20 years. Well, it was 1993. And yet, of course, there's no statute of limitation on murder. Basically, of course, Mike, would you like to get your information out? How can people get in touch with you? We do carry the DVD, Waco, A New Revelation. We think it's an important DVD. It's important to see it, to see the members of Special Forces talking about the fact that there was a Special Forces team there that morning. And, of course, that information was fairly well suppressed. The last thing they wanted the American people to understand is what really happened that morning. Oh, it was just an accidental fire. There was a lot of, it just happened by accident. Wasn't supposed to happen, that the whole the compound burned down and all those people were killed. Why, we were negotiating. We wanted a peaceful settlement. And ladies and gentlemen, they didn't want a peaceful settlement. They were negotiating, I believe that the Davidians would have come out alive, and that was never intended. Mike, why don't you get information on how can people get in touch with you, how they can help you if they'd like?
Well, Dr. Stan, folks can go to our blog where they can leave comments, and I generally respond to those. And that blog is copsproductions.com, copsproductions.com. They can see how the films were made and some of the background stories and some of the more important points of what happened when and so on and so forth. I think the issue of who was in control is very alive, well and alive today, because that same person and persons surrounding her are supporting Mrs. Clinton for president, to become president of the United States. Well, the woman was definitely involved in the mass homicide of almost 100 men, women, and children. I would like to hear her explanation of it. What was she doing during the course of events? Who was she speaking to? Where is the letter that Mr. Foster was about to present publicly relative to his resignation over the White House's involvement in Waco? What became of it? What role did she have in all of this? And I don't know that we'll ever know for sure, but I think it certainly bears asking.
And, of course, there is still a serious question, an open homicide investigation on what happened to Vince Foster, because most people do not think this was a suicide. There was no way he could have committed suicide that way. In fact, many people believe that he was killed, and then his body was moved to the park there where it was eventually found. I'm sure you've gone into that in detail as well, haven't you, Mike?
Yes, indeed. And, in fact, that's part of an ongoing investigation as to what happened to Mr. Foster and how, and where and when, and all of those kinds of questions. If Mr. Foster was about to basically spill the beans about the White House's involvement in Waco, I could see where that might be a motive to quiet him. And the historical tradition of how the Clintons quiet people is usually a matter of a homicide somewhere along the lines. So I think the issue becomes one of what was going on with Mr. Foster's death. Where did he actually die? And did he die by his own hand or by the hand of another? And to find out, I have some opportunities opened up here recently regarding Mr. Foster's death and certain records that are available to me. And we'd like to proceed with this investigation to finalize the closing chapter of the Waco issue and see if we can't bring it to some sort of closure. But to do so, folks can help us do so by buying copies of the film. That will help produce the kind of money that we need to have so that we can get on about the investigation. If there are those interested, they can contact us through the blog site in terms of supporting that new film effort.
All right, and we do carry the film Waco, A New Revelation. That's Waco, A New Revelation. That was, of course, put out by Mike some years ago, but it is an excellent film, giving you the background of what happened. And the testimony of people from the Special Forces, that there was a Special Forces there unit there that morning. And, of course, those of you who remember may recall why, of course, many of those people who were there that day were eventually sent off to Somalia. And, some of them died there in the confrontation, the Black Hawk Down episode, and which is what so often happens to members of Special Forces who are involved in illicit activity. And lo and behold, something happens to them, like the fellows who went there to kill Osama bin Laden. And why, my goodness, they almost all of them were on a helicopter that just happened to crash. They were all killed. Go ahead. Mike?
Yeah.
Go right ahead.
Okay. I think I've been asked recently by some fellow named Stanley. What can people do about these events and these things and these kinds of things? Is there anything folks can do? And yes, there are many things that people can do. One small example, there's a gentleman who is running for governor of the state of Texas. His name is Jerry Patterson. He's had a long abiding interest in what happened at Waco. He's a gun supporter, a pro Second Amendment guy, and he's been the commissioner of lands and railroads in Texas for some number of years. He stands a good chance of being elected, but he needs support. And for those of you that would want to go that way in terms of supporting an elected official, he's one that deserves your support. And I would support him. And I think it will, in the long run, help us to come to grips with some of the facts of what went on in Waco, vis-a-vis the Texas government, Texas state government. So supporting Jerry Patterson for governor in Texas is one way to help. Another is pay attention to what's going on in your own state, wherever you are, wherever you're listening from, whether it be California, although in my mind that's almost a lost cause. But nevertheless, get involved. Ask questions, find good candidates, support them, because unfortunately, as Stan has said many times, the whole country has gone to hell in a handbasket, et cetera, so much so that the whole country is in peril. And so the question is, how do we take it back? Well, one political office at a time. If you feel so inclined, run for office. It's a unique experience. I have here recently in a small race here in Colorado, and I'm just finishing my second year of my 2-year term, and it's been eye opening. And this is on the local, immediate local level. So I think we're all obligated to go forward with these kinds
of... Hold that thought. Hold the side thought. We'll be back at this moment with Ike Pinkola here at the American Institute.
Should a natural or man-made disaster hit, do you have the will, the skill, and the gear? Gear up with Preparedness Gear, a full-service store located at I-25 and Highway 52, exit 235, just south of McDonald's. We have your survival needs. Long-term storage, food, water filtration, bulk grains, bug-out bags, survival equipment, and a comprehensive selection of educational books. Visit us online at preparednessgear.com for upcoming classes or call us toll-free at 888-981-9810. That's 888-981-9810. Get your gear on!
Are you prepared for the coming chaos? Whether you are planning a strategic retreat or you have one in progress, Square Root Construction would be pleased to offer our assistance. With nearly 30 years of construction experience, Square Root Construction can help with design, engineering, and permitting issues, as well as a host of general contracting services from foundation to finish work. For a limited time, we are offering exclusive discounts to the listeners of Randy's program. For a no-obligation consultation, please call Doug at 303-517-8742 or drop an email to strategicretreats@gmail.com.
The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots biblically based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat and Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath.
During the winter, let's all keep an extra special eye out for our senior citizens. Check on them on a regular basis, especially when the weather is cold. Make sure they have what they need. Someday we'll all be in that position, and wouldn't you like to have someone watch out for you? That's from Brush Housing Authority, reminding listeners for housing programs, call 970-845-5046. That's 970-845-5046. That's Brush Housing Authority wishing everyone a great and safe new year.
Well, Dr. Stan back there, just putting my facility, and we're going back in time, back in 1993, to the Waco scene and strange death of the Branch Davidian. And the question is, who gave the order for the confrontation, for the attack on the compound, and which led directly or indirectly to the death of Davidian? No question at all. How many people died? Almost 100 people died. And the women and children, we never talk about the women and children who died in the silo because somebody dropped a bomb in there. The Branch Davidians dropped a bomb into that, and it blew up all those little innocent little children. Go right ahead.
Well, the bottom line does come to the issue of who was in charge, who ordered these things. And I realize that it's in the minds of liberals, accusing the former first lady of involvement is a stretch. But if you look at the evidence that's in the documentary film now, it raises some very important and serious questions. And the issues have never been responded to. They've never been answered. Mr. Chertoff, who was the first director of the Office of Homeland Security, was the investigator of the Senate Whitewater investigation, never called Mrs. Clinton to testify about the document known as the Foster resignation letter regarding Waco and the White House's involvement, never asked her to come and testify as to where is the document, what did she do with it, why did she have it removed from Mr. Foster's office. So these are the things, the kinds of questions that need to be posed and answered. You might say, well, that was over 20 years ago. Why should we care now? Well, for the same reason that Mrs. Clinton should care about what happened at Benghazi, because she was in charge and the manure hit the fan and people died. Now, the question here is, was she in charge at Waco and through the White House?
Well, we'll never know because Vince Foster's mysterious death. Go right ahead.
Well, we may find out about Mr. Foster's mysterious death, and I suspect it comes back to Mrs. Clinton once again, based on what we've seen thus far. There is more evidence to be gathered, and we need people's help. So if they'll go to copsproductions.com and take a look at the blog site, I think they'll find a lot of fascinating detail. And in particular, what makes the Branch Davidian debacle a homicide? Why would it still be considered a homicide? And we show you why at the blog, relative to the use by the federal government of a product called methylene chloride or paint stripper, and the details of which are contained in the blog. It shows you, it doesn't just tell you, it shows you in some videotape clips what happens when you use methylene chloride to carry as a carrier agent or a solvent for CS gas. And what happens when it's blown into a building by the gallon over a 6-hour period and the net result looks like those end game pictures that everybody's familiar with of that building up in flames. That's what it looks like. So why did the federal government use a known flammable agent and then protest from the beginning that it wasn't flammable? Well, if they tell the big lie often enough, perhaps people will believe it. But that's my opinion.
But the building burned down, the people died, and of course the tragedy is all those little children. We never talk about them. And, you know, today, why are we talk about Benghazi, 4 people died at Benghazi. And we talk about that over and over and over and over again. And we totally ignore what happened to the Branch Davidian. And people have forgotten about Vince Foster, but I remember very well doing a series of programs on Vince Foster. Ambrose Evans Pritchard, the reporter, really one of my favorite reporters. He's with the London Times, and I still read his articles every week when they come out. But Ambrose Evans Pritchard was here. He investigated Vince Foster, and there was no question that that was a death. And Vince died elsewhere, and they moved his body to the park. And then, of course, everything was done to cover it up, using the power of the Office of the President to conceal the truth about what really happened that tragic day. So basically, it's apropos because, of course, Mrs. Clinton is going to be running for the presidency, and if this were to come out now, why, of course, it would have a profound impact on her candidacy. And I'm sure the last thing that they want would be for the truth to come out, or even the people to be thinking about what really happened back there in 1993 at Waco, Texas. Mike, we've got about 2 minutes for you to wrap up the program.
All righty. Well, as I've said before, the participation on the part of all of the listeners, getting out there and getting involved, this is the year when we need to do that. 2014, 2015, 2016, we've got a three-year period in which all of us as citizens are required to move forward and make sure, ensure that we don't have a repeat of 2008 at the presidential level, and make sure that we do not have some of the liberal state legislatures that have come into power, for example, in my state, Colorado, that have passed all kinds of absurd firearms laws. They've legalized pot. They've legalized same-sex marriages. They've done all kinds of things that essentially fly in the face of anybody of a conservative point of view, and doing so in such a way as to, we don't want to hear from you, as Governor Cuomo said of New Yorkers the other day, if you're a conservative, if you're a pro-assault weapon person, an anti-gay person, if you're a pro-life person, then you have no place to live here in New York State. Well, them's fighting words. And I think it's time we all stood up and said, look, we will coexist with you, but we will not abandon our rights just because you say so. And that starts right there with who was in charge at Waco and who made those decisions. It has to do with controlling our destinies in a state legislature that's responsive to the needs of the people. It has to do with all of these things, and it's time to move forward. And to do that, all of us have to act.
God bless our guest this morning, Mike McNulty. Mike McNulty, look him up on the Internet, and if you can, help. God bless. Thanks so much, Mike.
Thank you, Dr. Stan.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just power from the consent of the governed. This is the America News Network.
He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 10 through 13.
The holiday season is meant to be a time of joy. However, when tragedy occurs, it can be the saddest of times. Many traffic fatalities are caused by a drunk driver. Remember the three C's of safety: caution, courtesy, and common sense. Safe and sober driving is everyone's responsibility. That's from El Dorado Mexican Grill at 18984 Country Road 51 in LaSalle. Community integrity is what keeps our area strong, and they're proud to be working with this station to keep the spirit going, and they're wishing everyone a joyous and safe new year.
Western Stone Company takes this time out to recognize and salute the men and women in uniform around the world standing tall for our political and economic freedom. This holiday season, let's remember them in our thoughts, prayers, and letters from home. Their efforts abroad and our support at home keep America strong. That's from Paul and his family and the professionals at Western Stone Company, serving our listening area with quality service, reliability, and integrity. Call 303-823-6404. That's 303-823-6404. They're on the air because they care about our troops.
Well, Dr. Stan here, the American Freedom Network. Hope you enjoyed our conversation. Salty. And basically, it's like deja vu all over again. I remember so well when, of course, we were spending a great deal of time talking about Waco and what happened. We still have a 4-tape set on Waco, my interviews with people at that time, and on the death of Vince Foster. We carry that, still carry that DVD, Waco, A New Revelation. Waco, A New Revelation. You can get these things by calling us at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. We must never forget these things that happened in the past. The children, I think there were 17 of them, who were blown up simply when the Branch Davidians dropped a bomb into the top of the silo and blew up the women and the children. We'd gone to the silo to be safe, but to see when the Special Forces teams are there, why, of course, nobody's life is safe. And they were assigned the job of killing the people, and they did kill them. But that's what the military does. And of course, unfortunately, why so often happens, why they then had their, unfortunately, they had to eliminate them. So they sent them off to Somalia, and many of them died there in the Black Hawk Down incident. People don't understand how this really works any more than why they would put all those Special Forces people who were involved with the apprehension and death of Osama bin Laden, supposed, suddenly into a helicopter that just happens to crash. How the hell often do helicopters crash with 20 or 30 people on board? Not very often, but it happened to the people who were involved. And of course, the reason is because Osama bin Laden had been dead for a long time. That was simply a diversion, as is so much of what we get on the media, a diversion to keep us from being able to think effectively about what's going on. So you are going to have to break the control, the propaganda control of your mind, think independently, and learn how to talk to people about what's really going on. I think one of the best subjects that you could talk about certainly is the fact that Hitler was not killed in a bunker after the war. Everybody believes this because the media is controlled, but of course the books have been written in other countries about Hitler's survival. We carry the book Grey Wolf, written by two British authors. I interviewed one of them, and he was in South America talking to the people who knew Adolf, who looked after Adolf until he died in 1965. And then a recent interview, and you can hear that up on my website, a recent interview with Dr. Jerome Corsi. I believe it was on probably Tuesday. It was actually Tuesday evening, and you can hear that wonderful interview. He actually went to the archives. He found the archives where J. Edgar Hoover talked about Hitler's survival. And when high government officials wrote openly about Hitler surviving, but they couldn't let the American people know. Why? Because he was responsible for the death of 6 million Jews. But you see, he was deeply involved in the occult. And all of these people were deeply involved in the occult. And the occult looked after one another. J. Edgar Hoover was a 33rd degree Mason, involved in the occult and concealed the fact. And you'll actually see in Tom, find me in Jerome Corsi's book, Hunting Hitler. We'll have that soon. We don't have it yet. We can't offer it, but we'll have it soon. You'll see the copies of the affidavits from the archive where J. Edgar Hoover's writing about the survival of Adolf Hitler. Get people to understand the media's control. Our number is 1-800-544-8927. We need your help financially to keep on board and give us a hand. Our number is 1-800-544-8927.